So are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Fantastic. Everything, one person in the entire room. I love that. That's what, yeah, absolutely. Completely ready. No, see, the thing is everybody does that question, don't they? Are you ready for Christmas, you know? And I always say, it's not like you're completely ready or you're not ready. I always say there's like an urgency spectrum, okay? Everybody's somewhere on that spectrum, ranging from urgent, everything's going to be done in time. You know the type of people. They're the ones ringing you up in March, going, I'm in a shop. Would you like, for Christmas next year, a scented candle or some dried fruits in a liquid? I've no idea, it's March! You go round and all the presents are absolutely carefully wrapped. And the kitchen, all the food's laid out in order. All the kids stand and go, yes, chef, like this at the back. And the person's going, now I'm just going to add some herbs. I mix these myself, but I've got a little bowl that I've done, like all the chefs do, to pour it in properly. You know, those ones, the kind of urgent ones. And then, of course, at the other end of the spectrum, it'll happen. It's all fine. There's still Christmas Eve from a shopping, rushing round at 10 to 5, going, oh my word, you're getting wiper blades. Haven't even got a car, don't care. Yeah. They're doing the packing. Sorry, they've got to pack the presents, yeah, wrap them up, and so they simply just put it in the middle, get all the wrapping paper together, bit of sellotape around the top. It's going to be opened in 5 minutes anyway. What's the problem? Yeah? And the cooking, when you go around to their house, is lovely because you're having the dessert course, the mince pies are coming out, and they're still running out the kitchen going, there's some potatoes ready now. Anybody want potatoes with the ice cream? There's this urgency spectrum. Yeah, and we're all on it somewhere. And you're thinking, why am I talking about urgency and about being ready for Christmas? Because this evening, what I want to talk to you about is the shepherds. Okay, and I'm really interested in why the shepherds. Now, you see, the shepherds are the most favoured of all of the people in the Nativity. You're thinking, why? Okay, surely, I mean, Jesus is obviously pretty favoured there. No, if you're a teacher, a school teacher, shepherds are very important because you do it every year. We're going to have the Nativity. We need a Mary. Who's going to be Mary? That's fine. Yes, you can be Mary. You weren't it Mary last year. And we'll have a Joseph. Joseph, right, okay. And those two of you that always stick together, you can never do anything separately. Fantastic. We've got a donkey. Okay. And you know what? We're going to go traditional. We're going to have three wise men. And that leaves the whole of the rest of the class. All the girls going, can I be an angel? Yes, we have an angel. There's a few more of us. Yes, all right, we have a lot of angels. Which leaves you staring at the 17 boys all sitting there going, yeah, all right, we've got angels. We're going to have some shepherds. Got to have some shepherds. But the real question is, okay, fantastic, we love the shepherds, but why the shepherds? Why did the angels come to the shepherds? Why did they decide, out of all the people they could have visited that night, a bunch of people up on the hills, yep, you're the ones who's going to get the message? Because it does seem a little bit odd. You'd have thought maybe the angels should have started with Jerusalem. Should have gone there. It's the capital city. Yeah, great message to bring. But actually, we've already heard in the readings, Herod wasn't going to be keen on that. It was all going to get very political very, very quickly indeed. They weren't ready to hear about a new king being born. Oh, okay, maybe not Jerusalem. But hey, what about the inn? Gone to the inn. Woken up everybody there. Hey, there's a baby being born. Yeah, we were aware. Trying to get some sleep now. Everybody in the inn, absolutely exhausted. They've been travelling for days. They're tired. They're sleepy. They don't want to know. And so instead what the angels do is they go to the one group out in the fields who at that time of the morning are awake and alert and listening. And they go to the shepherds. Because God says to the angels, do you know what? They'll get it. Go and tell them. So they go out to see the shepherds. And they do this wonderful singing. They've been practicing for centuries probably. And the angels turn up. They have an amazing singing voice. Don't be afraid. Because obviously that's like angel 101 lesson. Okay. When you turn up. All the angels go, no, I'm pretty certain they'll recognize who we are. No, honestly, just start with don't be afraid, okay? All right? But the angels turn up and they speak to the shepherds. And the reason they pick the shepherds is this. You see, the shepherds were waiting for a promised king. They were Jewish shepherds. They knew that for centuries, for thousands of years, God had been promising someone special coming along. And they were saying, look, you guys, out of everybody, you're Jewish shepherds, you're going to know about this. And so when we turn up and speak to you and talk about a promised king who's coming, you're going to recognize that. More than that, they're shepherds. Okay? Not just Jewish shepherds, they're shepherds. You see, shepherds back then weren't held in the high esteem that shepherds are held now. Okay? Back then, they would tell jokes about shepherds because anybody that spends their entire life sitting up on the hills was considered slightly stupid. And so people would make fun of the shepherds. And you know what? Every shepherd who was ever made fun of probably had exactly the same answer. Yeah? Well, King David was a shepherd. Because King David was. He started off as a shepherd. And so those shepherds knew that this king who was coming would be from the line of David. And they knew that was important. So they got it. They said, yeah, we're waiting for a promised king. He's going to come from the line of David. And more than that, he would save his people. That was God's promise. This would be someone who would come along and save his people. And the shepherds knew about that because they weren't stupid. They put their lives on the line all the time up in the hills. They were the ones that when wolves and lions, because there were lions back in Judea at that time, they were the ones who when wild animals tried to take the sheep away, they were the ones that stepped forward to save them. Because they believed those sheep were worth rescuing. And they knew that God had promised and said, I will send a Messiah of the line of David who will save you because you are worth rescuing. And also they knew that he would lead his people. You see, we think of a shepherd as standing at the back of a sheep of flock. Yeah? Needing a couple of dogs to round them up and everything and keep them moving in the right direction. No. That's just how we do it in the West. Back then, back in the East, what happens is the shepherd walks in front of his flock. And the sheep know. And trust him. And they follow him as a result. And the shepherds knew about that. And they said, no, this king who's coming, he's going to be someone who we can trust and who will lead us. So maybe that's why the angels went to the shepherds. Let's roll that forward a couple of thousand years. We come along to our churches at Christmas, don't we? And we sing all the songs and they tell us that Jesus is that promised king, that Messiah that God said was going to come. It was prophesied right from the beginning of the Bible. Jesus is going to come and he will be the promised king. He will be a Messiah that knows us. He will be a Messiah that knows who we are, what we're like, all the good stuff and the bad stuff, and yet loves us anyway. He will be a Messiah that will save us, that will give up his life for his followers. For those who place their trust in him. And he will be a Messiah who will lead us back to God. See, that's what we gather together to celebrate at Christmas. That's what we gather together to remember. Just as the angels came to those shepherds to give them that message, we sing these carols, we have these readings to give exactly that same message, but to everybody here. That Jesus is that Messiah who knows us, who saves us, and who can lead us back to God. So what did the shepherds do when they got that message? The angels turn up. They sing all their carols. They sing their hymns and the songs, and they get this message. Do they go, it'll wait? And do you know what? It'll wait. Let's leave it till the morning. We're going back down to Bethlehem. We'll wait till then. Let's just leave it for a bit of a time. There's no hurry whatsoever, okay? It'll wait. No. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. You see, going back to that urgency spectrum, the shepherds were right on the right of that. They went, no, this is important. This is important. And we need to deal with this right now. We need to see this Messiah from the line of David who comes to save and lead. And so they hurried straight off. And so all of us gathered here tonight, I guess my question for you is this. They hurried off
because they saw this as urgent and important and something they needed to deal with. They said, let me not put this off. Let me not just go, it'll happen. But let me see this as being urgent and important. So is this going to be the year? And will you be the person who hurries off instead? Not hurries off after this, but instead, having heard the message about Jesus, having heard who he is, are you going to be the person who hurried off to find out who Jesus actually is? Because I'll tell you now, he's the King promised by God. He knows each and every one of us individually and loves us. And because of that, he came to save us, to die on that cross and be raised, because he loves us so much. And he comes to lead us back to God. And that is the message of Christmas. Amen.